Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
Good morning. Welcome. A little bit overcast in Johannesburg. We've had wonderful, wonderful weather this past week. And, of course, the Yom Tovim all behind us now. We have been 3 weeks, 4 weeks in a row. It's quite a long, long session. So welcome, Dr. Jonathan Mark, and how are you this morning?
Oh, it's wonderful, and what a month.
What a month.
And we also had good rains.
Yes.
There was that massive storm we had just before, no, during Sukkot.
The fourth day of Sukkot.
Yeah, and but it's been wonderful here. You know, I moved here 5 weeks now, and we're really enjoying it. There has been some interesting developments with my mother, but not, I don't want to speak about my mother, of course, but with getting to know Sanctuary Gardens much better. You know, most of us, we don't pop in, we just pass it. But when a loved one is in there, you see very different parts of it, which has surprised me, mostly in the positive. And I think the highlight, I must say, is the opening of the new dining room in the Nosh Bar. I don't know if you've been there, Isaac.
No, I haven't been there. I'll be there next week sometime.
It's wonderful. It's beautiful. And, you can just see the dignity of the residents when they come there. But you should go there, have a look at it, buy a cup of coffee, sit down, reflect, and see. Perhaps, you know the Sanctuary Gardens for a long time now.
Yeah, very. I'd remember.
1950s.
1954 when it was opened, and was opened by the late Chief Rabbi Louis Rabinowitz.
Well, was it just like part of a farm, or did they bash buildings down?
Nothing, but it was part like of a farm. It was empty ground. But then they built on that ground there.
So the 1954?
1954.
45 plus 17, that's 1954. 62.
And I wonder, I've mentioned this before, how many of our listeners know that if you go on a helicopter drive or look down from a plane and you see the Sanctuary Gardens, the shape of a mug and David.
Well, I'm trying to work it out, but you say so. I've Googled it, you know, Google Maps, and maybe from a certain angle. But be that as it may, how was your Yontif?
Wonderful, thank you. Ooh. So we're going to have a post-mortem this morning, but I've brought to show you, remember before Yontif, we were talking about davening and all the magzairim. So I brought to show you the magza that I daven from. And it's a Vilna magza.
For the listeners, it's quite a big book.
Yeah.
I think the size is what they call in the print is A3, not A4. This is quite a big, yeah.
Just to show you the quality, a Vilna magza. And you put your hand on the page, and you can feel the letters. You can actually feel the letters. This is done by letterpress.
Yes.
And this magza goes back to the 1800s. Mm. It's still in brand new condition.
Yes.
Let me just show you when you talk. Look at every headline like Nishmas.
Wow.
And if you turn over the page, then you come to the Hamelech.
Wow, yes. And look how big and large it is.
And look at the commentaries.
The commentary, is this Yiddish?
No, the commentary.
The Hebrew.
Hebrew. But it's Rashi.
What? Hebrew and Russian print.
No, Rashi.
Rashi. I thought Rashi. You said Russian.
Rashi.
Yeah, sure.
I've got a magza as well with Hebrew, which you call Ivrit Zeitz, which is absolutely magnificent as well. Because, you know, with Yiddish, the Yiddish translation of a Sidur or a magza is absolutely unbelievable. Because it actually is so expressive. For example, it'll say, Gott in Himmel, mein Gott. You know, when you say that in Hebrew, Hashem, it doesn't have the same feeling as when you say it in Yiddish.
Yes, Yiddish.
And I'll bring that in next time as well.
I would love to.
And I'll read a few verses from you in Yiddish and how expressive it is.
Yes. So let's go back. Who printed this?
This is printed in Vilna.
Vilna, yes.
In Vilna.
In what year?
This one is published in 1874.
1874. That's over 150 years ago.
Yeah, Drukarania Rom Vilna. This is the, that's what it's, the printer's
And it's
work.
In magnificent condition.
Yeah.
How did this come into your hands?
I've got the complete set.
What? Complete all Machor for every Yom Tov.
I've got Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Pesach, and Shavuot.
Right.
And how it came into my possession is this. Whenever they were closing a shul, I always made it my business to go there and see what's available. And I came across this in a shul in Randfontein.
Randfontein.
The reverend there was a Reverend Goldberg. Mm. It was from his collection. And I spoke to the committee there and one thing and another. And they agreed and they gave me this, Marks. And this is now going back a good 40, 50 years ago as well. Right. Now, as I mentioned the other day, I've got a complete Vilna Shas,
yes,
also printed 1874, brand new, never been used, still in its original packaging, that it was shipped from Vilna to Cape Town to Johannesburg. And I've got that in my possession as well. I showed it to Hugh Reichlin and a few people. They were absolutely blown over. They couldn't believe what they were seeing.
I think sometime in the future, Isaac, we're going to speak to Kathy, and maybe we're going to set up just for one morning in your flat, in your library, because we can go from safer to safer, and I'm sure you would have a story on everyone.
On everyone. Everyone. Everyone.
So, if this was in Randfontein Shul, do you have any idea how it got to Randfontein?
Well,
was he a member, or did they?
No, this was from Reverend Goldberg.
Was he
bought it from from Vilna?
From Vilna.
From Vilna.
And from Vilna to Randfontein.
Randfontein, where he became the
and
rabbi.
And now it is in Orange Grove.
Like, for the example, came across the most magnificent Megillat Esther, which was not twice the size of this, which you can see, and beautifully written, and I've showed it to a few people. That I was offered so much for it. You can't believe it. It's priceless. Mm. But my nephew celebrated his birthday. He has his birthday on the same day as myself. So for his bar mitzvah present, I gave him the Megillat Esther, which he now lays in the reads from it at the Mill Hill Shul in London. Mm. And he's now just turned 17 the other day, and he was also given what they call a junior Chosan Torah as well.
Mm.
So it's quite an honor. So I've got in my library, unbelievable.
It's beautiful. This is I love music and I love Sephorim, and I'm just touching it for the listeners. If we were beaming it through television, you could just see my hands over this print. It's beautiful. It's sensuous.
And
the clarity. And this is over 150 years. So even with our modern printing, computerized, it doesn't come out as beautiful. This is a safer.
This is
not just a reprint.
No.
This is beautiful. Thank you for sharing.
So I thought I'd bring it to you. We're going to take an ad break, and then I'm going to play a cut from the new CD of Oshi Tukhanov, Reflections. Remember, I mentioned on Tuesday, and I'll mention it again, he's going to Australia next month in the spirit of celebration, 60 Voices, Africa to Israel and beyond.
Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
Just before we continue, I forgot to wish all our listeners a Chodesh Tov. Today is Rosh Chodesh, and tomorrow as well, Chodesh Cheshvan, known as Mar Cheshvan, because it's what we call the bitter month. There's no holidays, no festivities. It's a straightforward month.
It's a month of rest.
Month of rest, yeah.
A month to detox.
Now, if you just tuned in, I just played a track from the CD of Oshi Tukhanov's called Reflections. As I mentioned, he's going to Australia. He'll be there from the 14th of November until the 20th. He'll be in Perth, in Melbourne, and in Sydney. He's taking a wonderful tour with him. They've got what they call the black yogurt. I'll read all about that a little later on, but just want to continue now where we left off talking about Yomim Tovim. Now, where did you go, Jonathan?
Okay, so the listeners probably know that my base is Mahasha, a beautiful shul, a magnificent place to daven. It's just, you can't complain. Even the air conditioning is just perfect. but the real surprise for me was, my mother's now at Sandringham Gardens, and I made an effort to go and visit her every day. And they have a shul there. For some listeners, they might not know they have a shul there. And it's they get a nice response from the residents, and it's some people that come from outside. But there were two incidents that I would like to speak very quickly. But first of all, you know, on Shabbos Chol HaMoed, we read Koheles.
Yes.
The book of Koheles, that very sobering book, you know, Vanities of Vanities, all
vanities
is vanity.
Chavailim, chavailim.
So I was sitting there minding my own business, and at the shul, because it's mainly for the residents, they bring in some of the some people there that are very elderly, and they can't go up the stairs, and they leave them in the wheelchairs, and they're really, really, you know, frail. And as I hit the third chapter of Koheles, which is a time for, you know, time to be born, time to die, whatever, I looked up and I saw about 12 residents, and it kind of shocked me. This was mindfulness, that here I am, and one day, this is what Koheles says, I'm going to be there.
Correct.
You know, these people, wonderful people, I'm sure, but they can't reverse. You know, they might have had strokes, they can't walk anymore. Nothing's going to reverse. It's just a matter of, you know, or stabilizing. And that was probably the most meaningful Koheles I've ever written in over 40 years. So that was the one here.
You know, you mentioned that. I've always quoted this, and I'm sure many of our listeners have heard it. And if I repeat it again, the young people today don't know, don't want to know. But when you went to the Sandbrink Gardens about 2, 3, or 4 years ago, they had that magnificent monument, which was done by Herman Wald with a gentleman doing Kriya,
yeah,
which was opened in 1954
right,
by and unveiled by Chief Rabbi Louis Rabinowitz. And I'm going to mention this now in the presence of Rabbi Shlomo Rosenzweig, who was a Rosh Beit Din, Rabbi Alloy, the most senior rabbi in the community, Rabbi Neifeld, the Rabbi Gordon, who was there. I could go on with all the top Rabbonim and Rabbi Kosofsky and all of them. And then comes along a new generation, and no, that statue must go, etc. But at the bottom of that statue was the famous quotation. Remember I quoted it to you before? Can you remember it?
No.
Right. Remember man as I am now, so you will be. Therefore, scorn not me, rather come succor me. In other words, don't laugh at me. I was also young. You will also get old one day. And it'll be a different, different thing.
So that, in a way, I think maybe it sensitized because you've told me this a couple of times. So can you imagine reading Koheles?
Yes.
And you're reading. And you know, it's interesting. Let's say it's interesting. It's a philosophical thing. It's a bit of Musa. It's a bit of that. But actually to see the visuals, you know, it's like watching a video.
Yeah.
You know, you're listening to the sounds, but they have the visuals. And here, it hit me. And Koheles is known as the marathon. You know, it's a long, it's about
long,
40
it's
minutes.
A long one.
And to actually sit there and see these people and reflect and say, you know what? One day I'm going to be there. What am I going to do now until I get there?
Yeah, and you know, have you noticed?
It's a powerful moment, though.
It's a powerful. In Koheles, it says there's nothing new under the sun.
Yep.
There's nothing new under the sun.
Yep.
Now, that beautiful shul at Sandringham Gardens, I don't know if you notice all those little plaques on the wall.
Yes.
And I don't know if you had time to read them.
A few of them.
But every country community shul in South Africa contributed to that shul at Sandringham Gardens. And if you look at all those plaques, Ermelo and Delmos, and where it was Falkville, it was Boerterville, it's a history of all those people who came from the country communities.
And then the plaque, did they give something like a Sefer Torah?
Yes, they gave donations, whatever it is. So it's a beautiful shul, lovely bima, and you know, it's a small, but it's
different. It's old, but it's kept clean, and they put in new chairs now.
Yeah, but it's a wonderful shul. Yeah.
And I met a couple of people. I think it's Issy Cohen. Do you know?
Yes.
I think over 90, but he knew my grandfather and my father and my uncles and my aunts. You feel like you one big mishpocha.
Yes.
You know, So that was the first thing. The second thing was very quick is, on Shmini Aseret, they gave me Levi, you know, Aliyah for Levi.
Yes.
Now I can go relax afterwards. But they come up to me and they said, can you do Hagbab? You know, on that day there's two.
Yes.
So I did the first Hagbab and I sat down with it And they said, can you do the second Hagba? So here I was, I got an Aliyah plus two Hagbas, and I said, which other Gedolim in the world have got an Aliyah?
You know why there's nobody else who can do it.
And that's a sad thing, of course.
Just one last thing before we take a break. And of course there's Chazan Shemariahu Rabinovitz, who's been there for years and years with his wife Roz, and he used to conduct the services there. He's not well at all. And we'll come back and speak about it a little later on. So we're taking a break, and we'll be back a few moments later.
He's called the Walking Human Encyclopedia, but here at Chai FM, you know him as Isaac Resnick. For a nostalgic walk down memory lane, catch Isaac Resnick Friday mornings at 9 a.m. And for the lowdown in the community, be sure to stay tuned for Talk of the Town, Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m. Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome back. Just to remind you, today is Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, tomorrow as well. Shabbat comes in this evening at 5:59. Motzei Shabbat tomorrow evening at 6:47. And Sunday we have the Art of the Cancer between 4 and 5. This program is repeated on Sunday mornings just after 9. And then Tuesday, Talk of the Town between 9 and 10. And Friday's Reflections of the Past between 9 and 10. So we're talking all about Sandringham Gardens, the shul. And I also mentioned the most magnificent sukkah at Sandringham Gardens. The decorations, I don't know who did it this year or the year before, but they used to have Eric Haynes. I'm sure many of you remember. He was at the Connors Hotel with the Ruthsteins. He was a decorator, I will call it that, par excellence. And that sukkah of his was absolutely superb. Now, you wanted to know about some of the early founders there. There was Dr. Goetz, I'm sure many of you, that's Rachel Goetz, and her father was Oscar Goetz. And we mustn't forget, for example, Gerald Horwitz, who was instrumental in building the Golden Acres. I could go on mentioning other names as well who contributed to that wonderful
institution. So let's say that time. About 3 weeks ago, while just having visited my mother, I walked into the opening of the new Sandringham Garden lounge and dining room, which I think is world class. It's beautiful. They brought in architects and interior design, the furniture, the gardens there. Saul Thompson and Michael Seif and his team, they're MBAs, if I can say that. These are people that are forward thinking. They've got projects on the go. In fact, the new hospital section is about to open, which has been refurbished. So there are those things. I'm not saying it's a place to go to, but if it's required, I think there is dignity. I walked, unfortunately, past and are set in where people have got dementia. But one thing is remarkable. The nurses. I'm not saying every nurse is perfect, but I see they come in and I ask them when they come and they go, where are you going to? So they say, oh, we live in Rosettenville or Berea. How long is it going to take you? An hour. Both ways. And then working all day with these people. There was one little site that I saw. So, on Erev Yom Kippur, you often daven mincha early, around about 3.
Yes,
so between that and having the main meal, and my mother was eating kreplach.
Well,
that's a meal, yeah. Kreplach. And everybody was eating that I saw. So some remarkable things. And unfortunately, I've got to hear about the financials. But do you know that there's about 430 very elderly people living in Sandringham Gardens, the original. Not the Golden Acres.
Elders,
so their kitchen makes over 3,000 kosher meals a day. 3,000. That's just one aspect of Sandringham Gardens.
And not only that, they also make the meals and supply the Union of Jewish Women who go around delivering meals to the people in Yeovil or Hillbrow still living there. Now, you mentioned Sandringham Gardens. Remember, it used to be called the Witwatersrand Jewish Old Aged Home.
Yes.
And there was a stigma to that aged home. So when they moved to to Sandringham. It was there for a few years, and then they changed the name to Sandringham Gardens. Yes. It was in Sandringham. But I wonder if how many of our listeners will remember, and I'm sure Jonathan won't, that originally it was in St. Augustine Street in Doornfontein.
Well,
right across a road. I remember it very well. Right across the road from the Lion Shul in Doornfontein, when you're going, it wasn't a Harrow Road then. It was, before Harrow Road, was built, that highway, whatever you call it. And, used to take and curve and go up to Yeovil, but, that's where it was. And it was originally opened and by I.W. Schlesinger, the man who started African theaters and the African films and the life insurance, I.W. Schlesinger. And the first, rabbi there was a Rabbi Greenberg.
Mm.
Right. And then, of course, when they moved to Sandringham in 54, we had a few years later, Rabbi Chazan Rabinowitz was recommended by Chief Rabbi Casper. He took over for many years. And then I'm sure many of you remember the late Graham Finkelstein.
Yes.
He also became then the rabbi of the Sandringham, and now it's Jonathan Fox.
Yeah.
So, but when you mentioned Sandringham Gardens, the staff, you say they go to Drezettenville and to Yeovil. Years ago, they used to live on the premises. Mm, mm. There was a hostel for the staff, and there was a staff of 300.
Mm.
So they had to make food for the residents and for the staff as well. And, you know, and also, you say the modern facilities. What about the modern facility today? They just built the funds donated by the late Corporal, you know, the attorney for the Arcadia.
Yeah, beautiful.
It's absolutely
building.
Magnificent.
Beautiful.
It's world class.
World class. I said this to the executive of the Chevra Kadisha. This is world class. I've been around and I've seen these places. This is really world class. And you know that they estimate there's about 1,000 neshomas, people that live on that, what I call that campus, which is Arcadia. They have the Sandringham Lodge.
You're saying them
unfortunately,
large?
These are people who they're mentally ill. They can't work in the marketplace, and also Selwyn
Segal, which is part of.
So they say 1,000. I mean, you think 1,000 small, but put 1,000 people together, and those people are cared 24/7. It's a remarkable, remarkable.
And what about the people not resident in Sandringham, who the Chevra Kadisha look after as well?
Well, they're saying now 1 in 5 Jews in Greater Johannesburg is being helped by the Chevra. 1 in 5 are getting some kind of help. It is the
finest institute in the world.
In fact, my wife and I, Shira, we decided on the Shabbos project, we're going there for the Friday night meal.
Yes.
Because we want to be there and be part of it. And I think the community should try and, you know, in their own way, get involved, or even if they just go to the shul once in a while, just to be interested and bring new fresh faces to it. You know, this, we have to face it. We can't just, there is a sad side, which I saw when I was at Barra. There was what they call the dumping syndrome, or what they call the gogos. Like it's a vernacular. And what used to happen is that we used to work in December, and 12 o'clock at night, we see an elderly woman there sitting there. What had happened? The family had just dumped
her.
Yeah. It happens here. Sandringham Gardens. Families go overseas and they dump their parents. And to get $1 or $5 So there's a lot of cross-subsidization. Where would these elderly people go, you know, when they dumped? At least there's a place, there's a roof. It is warm. There is food. There is caring. It's not great. It's not the Hyatt or the Sheraton, but at least it's clean and it's safe.
And they've got a roof over their heads. That's amazing.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break, but before we take a break, I just want to mention, I'm playing another cut from the Oshi Tukanov Reflection CD. As I mentioned, he's going to Australia and he's taking with him a group called the Black Yogurt. It's going to be it's a world premiere, by the way.
So what is Black Yogurt?
It's a black, African group.
Oh, African
group. And the, musical director is Brian Schimmel. And they're going to be, I'll give you the details, in Perth on the 14th at Churchlands Auditorium, Melbourne on the 16th, that's November, Caulfield Synagogue, and in Sydney at Moriah College on the 19th and the 20th. So, if you want any more information, please, get on to www.voices, oshiaustralia.com.au. Or you can send me an apps, or you can send me an email. It's isaac@chai.co.za, and I'll give you all the info Isaac, as well.
Have they played here in Johannesburg?
No, the Black Yoga, but no. Aussie, this is a brand new, it's a world premiere.
So premier
once
in
he's
Australia.
Come back,
yeah,
then he'll
him,
do it in Johannesburg.
Wonderful.
So please tell your relatives, your relations, or ever in Australia about this tour.
There must be quite a few thousand South Africans in Australia.
Right, so we're taking a break, and we're then playing Oshie's a track from Oshie's CD, and it's called "Bring Him Home."
Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. Just to remind you that Shabbat comes in this evening at 5:59. Today is Rosh Chodesh, and tomorrow as well, Mar Cheshvan, and Shabbat terminates tomorrow evening, Motzei Shabbat, at 6:46. Sunday we have the Art of the Cantor between 4 and 5. Tuesday, Talk of the Town between 9 and 10. So I'm talking to Dr. Jonathan Mach. We were speaking all about the Sandringham Gardens, the magnificent facilities. They've just opened up that new lounge and that nonosh bar. I mentioned about the sukkah, which is so beautifully decorated. I remember Eric Haynes doing it. He came from the Connoisseur Hotel, where he was the artistic designer, arranger, when they used to have weddings there, and then he used to decorate the sukkah here, which was magnificent. But not only that, if you'd go Shavuot, you know, in Shavuot we put up greenery in the shul, and Eric would do that as well. It was absolutely magnificent.
Is Eric Haynes still alive?
I don't know. That's what I must put out to listeners. Does anyone know? Can you listen?
Well, I actually went to the sukkah. It was magnificent.
It's magnificent.
It was beautiful. It's not just that. It's just the roof is all the decorations.
And you know, it's got a. Should it rain on the night of Sukkot, they've got a cover you turn with a handle, and it comes over and covers the complete sukkah, so they can still sit in the sukkah and have a meal there. It reminds me of the I'm sure many of you remember the Bronners, Rabbi Bronner, Yosef Bronner and his wife Leah. They lived in Kalani, and they also had a sukkah where if it would rain, they would turn a cover over and sit in the sukkah. We're taking an ad break. We're back in a moment.
Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. We were talking all about Sukkot, Sandringham Gardens, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah.
How did the Arba Menim go? Did you sell a lot?
They sold out. Everyone that was basically all
sold out.
There
must have been thousands.
Thousands. As I said before, going back 40, 50 years ago, the shuls would only buy three or four, one for the rabbi, one for the chazan, and one for the gabbai, and then one to go around the whole shul. And by the time it came your turn to bench Etrog and Lulav, the whole thing had been broken up or something like that.
Yes. So almost every man now goes to shul and has the Arabinim. Because it was my son, who's my youngest son, who's out from Yerushalayim. He said that Long Avenue, where it was at the Arba Menim. He said this is a touch of Yerushalayim. There's a few blocks.
Yeah,
it was busy. It was festive. It was.
If you would go to a shul like, say, for example, yeshiva.
Yes.
And they were doing the akofas.
Yes.
They'd have to walk outside, go right around, because everybody had an etrog and lulav. And as I said today, not 40, 50 years ago, only three or four in a shul. But today, everybody, 99% owns their own etrog and lulav. That's it. And also the building of sukkahs. Many years ago, remember, we all used to go into the shul sukkah.
Yes.
And that's where we would have our meals. Yeah. But today, every resident, every home has got its own sukkah.
What was the highlight of this month of Tishrei for you, would you say? I had the aliyahs and the hagbahs, but especially the koheles and the Sanim Garden.
Every Yom Tov is a highlight. You know, I mentioned before, a few weeks ago, when you have this Magzah, where they say the high holidays. The late Chief Rabbi Louis Rabinowitz at Tzal, he said this. What is his high holidays? Every holiday is a high holiday.
Yes, yes.
Okay, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah are days of awe, or you know, very spiritual days. But every holiday, there's no one holiday better than the other. They're all high holidays.
Yeah.
So for me, every Yom Tov was perfect.
Yeah. So for me, you know, what I see is that there's this timeline. And during the time we have Shabbos, of course, during that we're davening, you know, and we have from Purim to Hanukkah and then, you know, all the other holidays. And that's just an emphasis on that day or 2 days of what should be in our daily life. So like Rosh Hashanah, it's anointing that Hashem is the king. So every day we have to think that Hashem is the king. Shavuot is the Ten Commandments. Also getting the Torah. Every day we should be thinking of it. Pesach, a lot of it is a chometz, and we must also get rid of the chometz on a daily basis. Not the bread, but the metaphor of
metaphorically speaking.
Doesn't mean that, you know, we do it one day and that's it for the rest of you. We should do it on a video. Looking at, reflecting on our past day, can we improve? Not just wait for Yom Kippur.
Introspection.
And, so that's what I found with this is my insight, is that all the chagim that we have over the year is an amplification of what we should be thinking of and doing on a daily basis.
But you know, also about the chagim, all the Yom Tovim, also like with Shabbos, it brings families together.
Yes.
And particularly when it comes to like Sukkot, when you invite guests for lunch and for the evening, and so many people go out for sukkahs and come to, you can invite this one and that one. And the same when it comes to Pesach as well, for the Sidorim. And even Rosh Hashanah people invite.
I do these groups on mindfulness now, and especially at the hospital when I mentioned Shabbat is a day of rest. They can't believe that you don't put on your computer, you don't drive a car, you don't talk business, you don't touch money.
We
don't answer the telephone. We say we cut us. All the creative stuff is lost. We don't do. But it's one day where we can be with relationships and have no cell phones at the. I even see in the Frum families now, there's cell phones at the meal. But it comes to Yom Tov and Shabbat, off.
Off.
And that's what we need, because we're living in the world, the age of distraction. And our attention is getting weaker. It's a scarce resource.
Yeah.
And there's so many distractions, and this is what I think what's wonderful about living a Torah-informed Jewish life, is that we learn to pay attention, and we can cut off at many times these distractions.
You know, the late Chief Rabbi Harris Zatzal used to say, come to Shabbat, come to Yom Tov, empty your pockets, get rid of everything, and just let go and enjoy the Shabbos. Take all those thoughts away from your mind. Just concentrate on Shabbos.
So we're moving.
It's so relaxing. Yes. It's so, I practice that. I don't think of anything else except for the Shabbos.
Yes.
And look forward to reading things about Shabbos. I mean, have you seen the new series by Emeritus Chief Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks?
On ideas. They are magnificent.
On
Noach.
Noach. Tomorrow, Parshas Noach would be my bar mitzvah.
Mazel tov. When's your birthday? Soon.
My birthday was 2 days ago.
Is that the Gregorian
the Hebrew birthday.
Well, yeah.
And my English birthday was last Shabbos.
Mazel tov.
I celebrated it with my twin brother and my nephew in London, who's also born on the same day. So if we add up our ages, it's 179.
I met your twin brother.
Oh, did you meet
him? Yeah, at the Yeshiva College.
Yeah.
I met him. He came. Yeah, interesting.
Okay.
Can I just finish with this?
Yeah.
That the way I see Shabbos is that when we are human being. Because 6 days a week we are human beings. And on the seventh day we become a human being again. Being. Not
being,
doing.
A being.
Being, a being. And that is a magnificent gift.
Right. Just to thank Craig for controlling, to thank Dr. Mark for coming to the studio, to wish you all a Chodesh Tov, Shabbat Shalom, a wonderful week ahead, and thank you for listening. It's been a pleasure being in your company.